On Christmas, we celebrate the birth of Christ. Although December 25th is not actually the day Jesus was born, it has been said and celebrated according to church history and tradition. The word of Christmas is the word Christ and the word Mass, which means worship. Christmas means Christ worship. So when we say Merry Christmas, that means Happy Christ worship. So Christmas is the day we gather together to worship and celebrate the birth of Christ. That's why we are here right now. Amen? However, sadly, it seems that Christmas nowadays has been degenerated into a holiday to enjoy the vacation. So people say, Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. The movie that generally represents Christmas today is Home Alone, not the Jesus movie. Here's a list of the 10 most watched Christmas movies according to an internet media survey that I searched. Home Alone, Elf, The Grinch, Love Actually, It's a Wonderful Life, Miracle on 31st Street, The Snowman, The Muppet Christmas Carol, White Christmas, The Santa Claus. I bet you've been probably seen most of these movies, but strangely, there are no movies about Jesus on any other list that I found, even though they are Christmas-themed movies. You know, evil is increasingly trying to replace Jesus with something else. Evil constantly continues to challenge us in that way. But Christmas, it's all about Jesus. Do you believe that? Yes. There's nothing in the world that can replace Jesus. So I want to say again, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Today, I want to talk about what the birth of Jesus means to us. Why the birth of Jesus is important and what it means to us. The first, the birth of Jesus itself represents the love of God. The most important meaning of Jesus' birth is God's love. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Another version, the Message Bible says, this is how much God loved the world. He gave his son, his one and only son. How much does God love us? God loves us enough to give his son. If God's love can be measured, it is as great as his son, Jesus. There is a Korean proverb that says that even if you put your child in your eye, it won't hurt. Even in English, there is an expression called apple of my eye. Apple of my eye. Meaning the most precious person. God gave us his son who doesn't hurt him even if he puts the sun into his eye. The sun must have been the apple of his eye. The Son, Jesus Christ, came to this earth and died on the cross for our sins. God wanted to save us sinners through the sacrifice of his only Son. This is the love of God. Amen? Can you imagine the heart of a parent who sees the sacrifice and death of their children? God's love is indescribable and immeasurable. Jesus Christ, He is the Son of God. In fact, at the time, over 2,000 years ago in Palestine, hundreds of people died on the cross, like Jesus, as a cruel punishment. But their death had nothing to do with our salvation. Only the cross of Jesus could lead us to salvation. Do you believe that? No sacrifice or death other than Jesus can save us. Only Jesus, because Jesus is the Son of God. Above all, because He is God, His birth, life, and death are precious and meaningful to us. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Jesus is the Word, and the Word is God. He was with God in the beginning, and all things were made through Him, and nothing that was made without Him. He is the God who created the world. In other words, God gave Himself to us. God gave Himself to us. Giving Himself means He has nothing more to give. God Himself has given us everything. That is why Jesus is the greatest, most precious, and meaningful gift given to us. People enjoy giving and receiving gifts to each other during the Christmas season, and sometimes they take them for granted. People also enjoy the joyous Christmas traditions of gift exchange, like elephant exchange. I like it. Santa Claus is known as a legendary character who is said to bring children gifts on Christmas Eve of toys and candy or coal or nothing, depending on whether they are naughty or nice. Whether they know that Santa Claus is their parents or not, they wish and expect a gift. Sometimes they might take the gift for granted. Every year on Christmas Day, many children brazenly ask their parents for a gift. When my first child, Yule, was young, a little, she did likewise. One Christmas day, I asked this question: "Why should I give you a gift, a Christmas gift?" Her answer was, "Because it's just Christmas." Then I said, "Christmas is Jesus' birthday." She said, "But you've been giving me a present every year." Okay. Then I'll tell you why I give you a Christmas gift every year. Christmas is the day Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth. God sent His only Son into this world. In other words, Jesus is like a gift from God given to us. This is a gift given freely, but this is amazing grace. So when Christmas comes, I give you a gift. And I want you to remember Jesus through this gift. Jesus was the biggest gift to us. And this is not for granted. This is 100% grace from God. Whenever you receive a gift, I want you to remember Jesus as a gift for us by grace. So, I try to teach my children what this gift means by giving them gifts every Christmas. And I remind them of the meaning of Christmas once again. It was not a matter of cost that Jesus came to this world. It was grace. It was amazing grace. God sent life to us who had no choice but to die. He was life, and he was the light in the darkness. Jesus' birth is God's greatest and most amazing grace and love. Amen. The other important meaning of the birth of Jesus is that he was incarnated. The incarnation is the embodiment of the holy God in human flesh. This is the most significant core of a Christian doctrine. The incarnation is the belief that Jesus Christ was made flesh by being conceived in the womb of a woman, a Virgin Mary. The doctrine of the incarnation entails that Jesus was fully God and fully human, but they were not mixed. Jesus was not a demigod. Jesus, whom God sent to this earth, is not only Son of God, but he was also God himself. So then, he should have come to this earth as a God. He should have been an overwhelming being the human could not dare to imitate. But he was a fully human being. Jesus, the presence of God revealed to us, was a human being like us, born through a human body. God took on human form. He was a historical man who walked on the ground in first century Palestine. He suffered pain, sorrow, and torment through his human senses like us. Enjoyed a meal with his friend and his family, woodworking, built houses, fishing, and went in and out of home, synagogues, and the temple, and even died like us. Through 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, the Apostle John vividly described the fact that Jesus, who is God, became human just like us, of flesh and blood, and was with us. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands, concerned the word of life." The incarnation forms the basis of a Christian faith, which confesses that Jesus is fully human and fully God. It is not only the foundation of Trinitarian theology, it is also central to the gospel we believe in. This is Jesus we believe in. Then we can ask questions like this. Why is it important? Why is it important that Jesus, God himself, became a human being? Why should it be this way? Fundamentally, humans cannot even understand God, and we don't even know God. We are not able to get to know God or understand his will unless God reveals himself. Humans try to reach God with their own strength, power, and efforts, but humans cannot reach God by themselves. The encounter between humans and God is determined only by God's will and his sovereignty. In other words, we can only encounter God by his grace. This is no other way but for God to come to us in his sovereignty. So, the way God has chosen is to send his Son into the world. God revealed himself through Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are able to know and understand God through Jesus Christ. The important thing is that God came to us. It is a kind of direction. It is not the opposite. God came to us. God came to this earth. The direction, this direction teaches us something really important. When you look at the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." One more time, "Your kingdom come." When you pray that, the kingdom of God will come to this earth. We don't pray that the world will come to God, but the kingdom of God will come into the world. The world has no power to approach God on its own. Therefore, the church that represents the kingdom of God should go into the world. In the beginning of John chapter 1:14 says, "The Word became flesh and made his home among us." The Word, Jesus, God himself, came among us to be with us and dwell with us. In other version, the Message Bible says, very interesting, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Moved into the neighborhood. It's very impressive. This is why the church has to break into neighborhood and communities. Do you believe that? I would like to call this the Christian incarnate life. The Christian incarnate life. In my last sermon, I heard that some people didn't understand because I used some theological words such as eschatological life. I apologize. I hope you all understand the word, the Christian incarnate life. Anyway, a church is not a church because it has a building. You and I exist in the world as a church. You can no longer wait for our neighbors to come inside the church building. The church must move toward its neighborhood. The kingdom of God should come into the world. This is why we should go into our neighborhood, just as God sent his son, Jesus, into the world. God is not just looking at us as if watching a fire from afar, but he himself came and suffered the pain and sorrow with us. God has come into our real lives. God dwelt with us and changed the neighborhood, the light in the darkness. Once again, this is why the church must go into our neighborhood and communities. Because the world needs Jesus. Whether they want Jesus or not, whether they acknowledge it or not, their essential need is Jesus. Jesus also came to the world, but the world did not welcome him. Even though Jesus was what they need most, they rejected him. They didn't realize what they really needed. When you go into our neighborhood and community, perhaps they treat us unwelcomely because they might don't know what they need. Nevertheless, what they need is only Jesus. Do you believe that? Just like Jesus breaking into the world, we should also break into our neighborhood and our community. I'm so grateful that our church is able to serve breakfast to our neighbors every Sunday morning. I'm pretty sure this is an important ministry step forward into our local community. We should break into our communities more and more with the love of God and the gospel of Christ. What we can do right now, is pray for this. We could pray that the kingdom of God will come into our neighborhood and communities, and pray for your neighborhood and share the love of God in your workplace and in the other communities you belong to. You and I are ambassadors for Christ and the kingdom of God. Do you believe that? This is what we need to remind of today through the birth of Jesus. The incarnation of Jesus is the reason why we should live an incarnate life in this world. All children say, Amen.